Nāre, tā ngā sāng, ngā tē kiam tē lāp chā. Tā ngā kuñjā sūm yā, nāni kiap sū chua nē, nā kiap sū chua chā, nā kiam tē lāp chā lāp kū kū rē sā. Nā lāp chā lāp chā ngā sāṁ lā tū sū sāṁ kū rē, sī kū sūṁ kū rō dā, chī sā sāṁ lā tā ngā kā nā sāṁ kū rē lā nā, nā sū sū kī kuñjā sūm yā, nāni dōngā tā tā lā kī pī nī bā dī kiam tē kuñjā sūm yō rē, kiam tē kuñjā sūm kū kū rē, sēm bī kī yī shē chē, tē nē sū sū kī tē yī shē chē nē, tē nē kiam tē kī nī. So, lapche lap nyamlen che. Dine suji nyamlen che ba na, shen je shen le ya, an shen shen zivyi to ne, shen le ya, shen sim je tam je dewa dunga, dewa dewa dunga mi dewa, jik ba de, di yin sa da, kondru yin ne, jamru nyamlen che je ya, tarpe goma, toku kutu sam che, an de le ya, zewa che che, an de le ya, an nipi gang cho ge, an ya, jamru gor ma she, kondru le ya, an du shen jamru di di shen re, jina jamru che ba na, pan yin di di yor se, ਉਹ ਦੋਸ਼ੇ ਨੇ ਜੰਮੂ ਜੀਸੂ ਜੰਮੂ ਜੰਮੂ ਕੀਚੂ ਇਹਨੇ ਜੰਮੂ ਲਪਚਾਲਾ ਲਪਿਆਲਾ ਦੋਸ਼ੇ ਨੇ ਜੇਵੋਰੇ ਸਫਾ ਦੋਸ਼ੇ ਨੇ ਸ਼ੈਲੇ ਪੰਪਾ ਚੁਕੋਰੇ ਸੈਸੀਚੇ ਤਾਂ ਰਾਣੀ ਕੀ ਦਾ ਸੁਸਰਾਣਾ ਕੀ ਇਹਦੇ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਛੇਤਾਂ ਜਿੰਬੀ ਕੇ ਜਾਵਾ ਕੰਦੇ ਸ਼ੇਵੇ ਨੇ ਯਾ ਜੰਮੂ ਕੁਝ ਸੁਮਲੇ ਯਾ ਇਚੇ ਲੋਦੇ ਛੇਬੋ ਪੁਰਾ ਸੋਦਿਪ ਜਿਵੇ ਤੋਨੇ ਉਹ ਦੋਸ਼ ਯਾ ਜੂ ਜਿਨਿਆਮੇ ਜੇਲੇ ਰਾਜੇ ਅਨੇ ਜੰਮੂ ਜੰਮੂ ਲਪਚਾਨਾ ਮੇਕੇ ਵੇ ਤੋਨੇ ਲਾਗਾਚੇ ਹੋਰੇ ਨੀਮਾ ਉਹਨ さんげたんちんちけ。パペカさんコロングというにゃめかねちばなじれが。おとしね。データ準備けりゃがちおれさちじだ。おとしね。あね、あんにがじけ。じゃわかねちべなだ。どうしね。ん、じゃみこんじすんにやいちちちばま。じゃみこんじのいまちば。あんば、どうしね。あんじけ。じゃみこんじすんにやけしんびけだ。じゃばたんたわ。みりんびけろべしゃりや。てんじ。
Good morning. So we're continuing to look at the refuge trainings. So these trainings one needs to engage in once one has gone for refuge, because they have the they serve the function of helping to both develop as well as stabilize, make firm our refuge. So one generates refuge first through cultivating the causes, through generating fear at the possible, at the real possibility of falling into the lower realms, and more generally at continuing to suffer in cyclic existence. And then the second, generating the second cause, that the three jewels, they have the capacity to guide me to attain a state of protection from such suffering. So this is, these are the two initial causes for going for refuge, and they should be regenerated whenever one does go for refuge. Then add to that, that I'm not alone in being in such danger. All beings want happiness and to be free of suffering, yet have the causes for suffering, immense number of causes for suffering on their continuum. Through my going for refuge, may this be a cause for all to go for refuge too, and thereby to be led to transform their minds and gain liberation from suffering. Through training in refuge and training in the Dharma in general, may I be an example to all and a guide for those who seek it. Moreover, as we saw last night in some of the, because we've concluded looking at the individual precepts, those relating to the three jewels separately. Now we look at the common precepts, those relating to the three jewels as a whole. And within these, we saw last night that before one engages in any activity, one should go for refuge, honoring and supplicating the three jewels. And this is how all the great bodhisattvas of the past and the present are practicing. And so we should follow their example. Moreover, due to developing deep, heartfelt faith in the three jewels, I must ensure that all that I do is in accordance with their teachings, and I don't engage in anything that is contrary to their teachings. So we'll continue in the text, and we come to the outline in the middle page, 135, which is looking at the benefits of going for refuge. So of the six common precepts or trainings, this is the fifth. So the published book, we're in the bottom of page 114 in the handout or the ebook, in the middle of page 135. Having understood its benefits, go for refuge 3 times a day and 3 times at night. So here now, Lama Tsongkhapa mentions the 8 benefits. Firstly, it is the measure of being a Buddhist. It is the basis of all vows. The karmic obscurations accumulated previously are reduced and exhausted. Fourthly, one accumulates vast merit. Fifthly, one does not fall into the lower realms. One is not harmed by human and non-human hindrances. One accomplishes everything one wishes for. And finally, one swiftly attains Buddhahood.
The first,
it is the measure of being a Buddhist. This is because whether someone can count themselves amongst Buddhists or not depends whether on their continuum they have refuge. In other words, whether they sincerely turn to the three jewels for protecting refuge. Having this mind is the measure of whether someone is a Buddhist or not. Let's turn then to the explanation of the first of the 8 benefits. It is a measure of being a Buddhist. Although, generally speaking, there appear to be many ways of positing what constitutes a Buddhist, a non-Buddhist and a Buddhist, it is widely known that the teachers of Santipa differentiated them by their going for refuge.
Lama
Tsongkhapa starts by saying, although generally speaking, there appear to be many ways of positing what constitutes a Buddhist, a non-Buddhist and a Buddhist. So there's the one that already mentioned, whether one has the mind of refuge on one's continuum or not. Or secondly, whether one has the views of Buddhists as presented in the 4 seals. The 4 seals being all compounded phenomena are impermanent, all contaminated phenomena are subject to suffering, all phenomena are empty and selfless, and nirvana is peace. So some measure that whether someone's a Buddhist or not is whether one has these Buddhist views, if one has adopted these Buddhist views or not. But generally speaking, here, what is being presented is whether one goes for refuge or not.
아디네자 두스니 여레스 망고여레 이나단 만조 가르치오레람나 네 두스니 조치게 가르송바이라스 조치다 네 신디 바코란스게 가르송고스네 나바상게 바다 이나마이 세디 겸조 겸조 제바르 잡여서 건조 두스친 겸조권의 지고레스 송바레스 겸조권의 겸류 제바르 잡여서 나바 이나마이 세디 겸조권의 요메 지고레스 제바르 지고레스
But the great Atisha and Shantipa differentiated people as to whether they could be included with Buddhists or not, independent on whether they have gone for refuge or not. Lamatokapa continues. Therefore, a Buddhist should be understood to be someone who has achieved going for refuge and has not given it up. So this then is referring to, in the present tense, that abiding on their continuum is the mind of refuge. It's not sufficient to have gone for refuge in the past, and that has degenerated or been lost, but that one would need to have gone for refuge, and that mind of refuge needs to continue to abide on one's continuum. Then one is suitable to be included amongst Buddhists. Therefore, as we see here, Buddhists go for refuge to the three jewels. So the actual word for that's translated as Buddhist literally is insider, and the word that's translated as non-Buddhist is outsider. So we should understand as the term for Buddhist, insider, being that one goes for refuge to one's own guide, someone who leads us to liberation. We don't go to refuge to some other guide of a different group apart from our own. Whereas if we were to go to refuge to a set of teachings and the teacher and a community other than those of the three jewels, we would be going for refuge if we were to go for refuge with trust to such a group, they would be outside of the Buddhist fold. And therefore, one would not be considered a Buddhist, but outside of the Buddhist fold. So therefore, a general way to understand this term, insight, insider, which is the word for Buddhist, is one is inside the fold of Buddhists, in that one has gone for refuge to one's own founder teacher, his teachings and community. I'm explaining this so that it's very clear that this differentiation between insider and outsider is not one of superiority and inferiority, but it's rather making clear that one, as a Buddhist, is going for refuge within one's own group and not going for refuge outside of one's own group, grouping to our founder teacher, his teachings and his community, and not going for refuge with a mind of faith to a different founder teacher, their teachings and community. So this isn't a differentiation in terms of superiority and inferiority. Our religion is superior, others are inferior. But it's rather, for example, you are part of your own particular family, your own birth family, or yeah, your own family. And this is a family you are within. You may be close with other families or know other families, but they are apart from or outside of your family. You are not within those families, but within this family. So therefore, we should understand that this term insider refers to going for refuge within the group of the three jewels.
We
use these terms insider and outsider in society is as Australians, you are within the group of Australians. Someone who comes here from another country is an outsider to this group. Likewise, from the perspective then of Australians, looking at New Zealanders, they are outsiders to the Australian group. New Zealanders in New Zealand would have a different perspective. They'd say, no, we are the insiders. You Aussies, you are the outsiders. So this is the way the term should be understood. Again, I just want to emphasize, it's not one of being better or worse or superior and inferior, but it's an insider is someone who has gone for refuge to the three Buddhist jewels. And like we saw yesterday, if one goes to refuge to, for example, the Burn tradition with their founder teacher and teachings and community, then one, if one goes for refuge there, one is an outsider to the Buddhist community. One is then no longer within the Buddhist community, but outside of the Buddhist community. So this then is the meaning of the term insider and outsider. That being said, though, if one were to speak to a Burmese practitioner, they would not accept that they're not Buddhists. They certainly say they are Buddhists. With this, in reference to the Burm, so this is more of a modern phenomenon that they prefer to insist on being called Buddhists. Anyway, in terms of whether someone is an insider or an outsider, as the great Tishan Shantipa said, one is an insider if one is within the community of Buddhists, where one goes for protecting refuge in a heartfelt way to the three jewels of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And if one goes for refuge outside to a teacher and teachings and community outside of the Buddhist fold, one then would be considered an outsider or a non-Buddhist. Lama Tsongkhapa continues. Hence, as the standard for being a Buddhist, one must consider the three jewels to be one's teacher and so forth from the depths of one's heart. Without that, even though you do virtuous deeds, you will not be included among Buddhists. The first word hence, and this is a connecting term from what followed before, so we're building on what was presented before. As the standard for being a Buddhist, one must consider the three jewels to be one's teacher and so forth. The three jewels to be one's teacher. See, this refers to teacher will be the founder teacher, Buddha Shakyamuni, as the initial illuminator of the path to enlightenment. And this path that to be cultivated within, that is the actual refuge, the Dharma jewel, the true paths and true cessations. And then thirdly, that the Sangha jewel, those great Arya practitioners, they are one's companions on the path. So one should have heartfelt refuge from the depths of one's heart. One should have deep and abiding faith and trust in the three jewels. As Lama Tsongkhapa concludes, even if one lacks that sincere faith, whilst one may accumulate virtue, one could not be said that one is accumulating virtue as a Buddhist. One would not be within the Buddhist fold.
So the direct
or manifest way to go for refuge is to go for refuge with an understanding of what the three jewels are. Understanding that the Buddha Shakyamuni is our founder teacher, who was the person who initially illuminated the complete and unmistaken path by which suffering beings will gain liberation, complete liberation from suffering. So having deep and abiding faith in the Buddha jewel is going for refuge to the first of the three jewels. Then the Sangha jewel, understanding that these are the advanced practitioners who have gained liberation from suffering, and they are our companions. They accompany us and guide us. So having deep and abiding faith in these practitioners who have gained unshakable experience of the Dharma as our refuge, that is going for refuge to the Sangha jewel. And then the Dharma jewel, understanding that this is the actual refuge, whereas the Buddha jewel is the founder teacher, the Sangha jewel are our companions. Understanding that the Dharma jewel is our actual refuge, therefore we have a determination to attain the Dharma jewel within, or to cultivate the Dharma jewel within. In other words, to cultivate true paths and true cessations, and cultivate them to the extent where we gain complete liberation from suffering, where we gain nirvana. So having at least an aspiration, if not a determination, to cultivate the Dharma jewel within, this then cultivates going for refuge to the Dharma jewel. That was the first of the eight benefits. The second is it being refuge being the basis of all vows. In that, before one can receive any of the vows from the Buddha, one needs to have refuge in one's continuum. The Treasury of Abhidhamma Auto Commentary says, those who go for refuge gain access to taking all the vows correctly. Those who go for refuge gain access. So, I understand gaining access like entering through the doorway into a building. So it's, the doorway is the entrance or the access point to enter the building. So too with receiving vows of the Buddha. Whether they are lay vows or the vows of the ordained, one needs to first have a sincere refuge in the three jewels. So too, the vows of a bodhisattva, the vows of a secret mantra, one first requires the mind of refuge. Then a further quotation, and 70 verses on going for refuge also says, Upasakas go for refuge to the three, that is the roots of the eight vows. This means that by going for refuge, the thought of passing beyond suffering is stabilized, which gives rise to the vows. Upasakas, lay vow holders, or those who seeking virtue, they go for refuge to the three. So, in other words, before one receives lay vows, one goes for refuge to the three jewels. And this is also the case for the ordained. Before receiving vows of ordination, one also goes for refuge to the three jewels. It's for this reason, then, that refuge is the root of the eight vows. So the eight vows refers to the three different sets of lay practitioners, and the five different sets are three different sets of lay practitioners and five different sets of ordained practitioners. So these make the eight. And before receiving any of the sets of vows, it is a requirement that refuge is taken, or rather refuge abides on the continuum of the individual.
Tik
So I wanted to be clear, as a translator, I think our English is clear, that when it says in our first line, Upatakas go for refuge to the three, that this should be very clear, that the three is refers to the three jewels. So it is the three jewels, now the second line, that is the root of the eight vowels. There shouldn't be a misunderstanding that the root is the vows of individual liberation, which are part of the vow, which are the vows that Upasakas take. So the vows of individual liberation are not the root. Rather, the root is going for refuge. In the final two words, eight vowels, this refers to eight different sets of practitioners and vows that form part of the vows of individual liberation. And these are divided into three for lay practitioners and five for ordained practitioners. So the three for the non-ordained are the vows taken by women, vows taken by men, and one-day vows. Those are the three sets. So therefore, three of the divisions relate to the non-ordained, leaving five for the ordained. And the five for ordained then refer to male and female fully ordained monks and nuns, male and female novice monks and nuns. And then there's the fifth is probationary nuns. So this is a period of a set of vows taken between a novice and fully ordained nun. So then these are the five groupings for the ordained. In general discourse, one may talk about the vows of the eight Mahayana precepts or the vows of refuge. So this isn't terminology we generally use. Rather, one talks about In these contexts, one doesn't generally talk about vows. Or say that the texts don't use the term vows, although in general conversation the word vow may be used. But the text in the context of the eight Mahayana precepts and refuge vows, in those two contexts, the word vow is not used.
And
Lama Tsongkhapa concludes by writing, I'll just add a little bit to this, or a sentence to this. This means that by going for refuge, the thought of passing beyond suffering is stabilized, which gives rise to the vows. This is the intended meaning of these passages. The meaning of this is that before one receives the vows of the Upasaka, the lay vows, one is guided to generate a wish to gain freedom from suffering, and then guided to recognize that it is the three jewels who have the capacity to guide us to gain actual protecting refuge. Then, with heartfelt trust in the three jewels, one then is ready to make the vows of the non-ordained or the vows of the Upasaka. Then coming to the third benefit, the karmic obstructions accumulated previously are reduced and exhausted. In the context of showing that bad actions are purified by going for refuge, the compendium of training says, here one must present the edifying story of the pig as an illustration. And then a god who was about to be born as a pig, by going for refuge, was not born as one. The third benefit then of going for refuge is that when one goes for refuge with deep and heartfelt faith in the three jewels, this serves to purify negative karma. And here the compendium of training mentions a story that that can be mentioned.
Chidi 但是,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我想,我
This is an account of a god who, like gods do, was aware of their approaching death. Because beings in the god realms, they live in a life of great opulence, a life of great comfort. But when the death comes, their situation changes radically, and therefore the signs of their impending death are manifestly clear to them as well as to those in their communities. Their flower garlands, the gardens surrounding their homes, these wilt and die. Their body smells for the first time. And therefore, because these signs are recognized, the friends of the gods keep their distance as well. Because for the first time, this is really the only time that there are unpleasant smells and sights in the god realms. So the other gods rather stay away from their friend because of this unpleasant appearance. So this just adds to the immense mental suffering that gods experience as their life draws to an end. Moreover, gods have a clairvoyance. It's called a karmic clairvoyance. So it's not a clairvoyance that comes from developing concentration, but it's one from imprints. So karmic clairvoyance. And with this, they can tell what their impending rebirth will be. So this particular god saw that they were not only falling from the god realms, but falling into the animal realm, and to be reborn as a pig and living in a filthy environment, eating swill and garbage. So this was the recognition that this god had, which just compounded their mental suffering.
And
Yeah.
So there's a God who was facing his impending death was in the heaven of the 33. And there is, within this heaven, there is a God who is the leader of the gods. And he saw that this dying God was particularly distraught. So he approached him and the dying God explained his predicament, explained this birth that was awaiting him. In desperation, this dying God turned to the leader who had approached him, explaining what was happening. And compassion arose within the leader of the gods, who gave the following advice. There is only one solution, and that is if you can generate deep and heartfelt faith in the three jewels and go for refuge in a sincere manner, that can help. That and that alone can help. And then this dying God recognized that there is an impending death, a birth for them in the lower realms, in the as a pig in the animal realms. Fear of such a rebirth was very real for them. So fear being the first cause of going for refuge, it wasn't merely theoretical, but now they knew this is what's awaiting me. And therefore, this being was able to go for refuge with heartfelt faith. And thus, the power of this sincere faith was sufficient to purify that karmic imprint, and through that merit, led to them being reborn in the god realm of Tushita.
So
this is the reason why this edifying story of the pig should be used as an illustration, because it illustrates how going for refuge sincerely purifies past accumulated non-virtue. Then Lama Tsongkhapa continues with a quotation from the same text. Okay. Those who have gone for refuge to the Buddha will not go to the lower rebirths. They give up their human body and obtain that of a god.
So this
quotation just serves as a basis for what has already been presented, which is that those who go for refuge to the Buddha will not fall to the lower realms, but rather they will, upon dying, will obtain an even better rebirth as a god. And then Lama Tsongkhapa writes something similar stated regarding the Dharma and the Sangha.
Yeah.
Chibani, Pashin Duba Les, Japson Sunum Suchina, Kamsum Dia, Nudo Chums, Yasu Chimbo Chi, Ter Pulisha Wakala Nu, Shesomba Taros.
Then the fourth benefits of going for refuge. One accumulates vast merit. The compendium of the perfection says, if the merit of having gone for refuge took shape, even these three realms would be too small a container. The water in the great oceans can never be measured in handfuls. As it says in the first two lines, if going for a refuge sincerely, that if that merit that results from that were to take form, then that form of that merit couldn't fit into the three realms of the desire, form, and formless realms. That is the immensity of the merits accumulated through going for sincere refuge. Merit or virtue does not exist in the world as material form. If it did, that of just going for refuge would be of the immensity as presented here. Rather, the place that merit abides is on our continuum, and therefore is unseen. The third and fourth line, the water in the great oceans can never be measured in handfuls. So in the same way that if one was wondering how much water is there in the ocean, and one tried to calculate it by taking handfuls of water and counting these handfuls of water, that would be impossible. One would be unable to empty the water, empty the oceans, and thereby count the number of handfuls of water in the oceans. So in the same way, one cannot even conceive of the immensity of merit that is accumulated for going for refuge. That final sentence, this is how vast it is in the Tibetan. So then moving to the fifth of the eight benefits. One does not fall into the lower rebirths. You should understand this from above. So this is something we looked at a couple of verses before, that through going for refuge, one purifies such that in one's next rebirth, one will not fall to the lower realms.
Conjure some so come, shaggy, chiamitong, some gore, sadi, drubadi, then on the Golavares, Ninelia, Mansuji, Chica, Shisare, Disigorada, Mansu Conjusumia, the Penshi, and the Yakonjusum, the Shigis, the Casore, Lue Kawama, the Luma Kawachi, your Mares, that Zemo gets to the unconjusum, and I need Yishi, Yamar, the Lev Zemo. Zemo in a sim dingy Yishi, the mere Malamna, Zemo and Tiji, or the Najiji, Zemo in the Jorua, Zemo in a Susuki. 节目龙下来的那天呢，啊，我跟你说的一起没事，什么经济或者一起约会呢，也看得怕。但我跟你说的一起没事，这么子的你来给我买的事情，心里就觉着吧的，这场节目就是准备都去给我买的事的。那你这些活的过了我噻。
The sixth benefit, one is not harmed by human and non-human hindrances. Lama Tsongkhapa writes, this is easy to understand. This was then covered earlier when it was presented how one should go for, not only go for heartfelt refuge, but one should not give it up at any price and not even do so as a joke. This relates to what we looked at last time, which was that one's faith in the three jewels, we should guard this mind of refuge, as we do our own life. And we should ensure that it stays solid or firm within us as we move through our life, in particular when the ending of our life comes. We shouldn't allow the wrong view to come that at the end of our life, that we give up our refuge. This would be a grave error. In fact, we should guard it so firmly that we should never even joke about giving up one's refuge. The seventh benefit. Whatever Dharma activity you engage in, if at the beginning you make offerings to the three jewels, go for refuge and supplicate them, it will be easily accomplished. So here we are being advised that before engaging in any virtuous activity, first start by going for heartfelt refuge, together with honoring the three jewels through making offerings, as well as making supplications to them. And if one starts one's virtuous activities like this, they'll be quickly accomplished. And
yāngi tōndā tī chūpū, tēlā tū chūpū rē, yōgū chūpū chūpū rē, sā sūngu rō.
Whatever beneficial activities one engages in, whether it's a formal beneficial activity such as teaching the Dharma or meditating on love and compassion, or just general activities in the day, it's imperative that one does them within the fold or the envelope of refuge. And this will be greatly aided by formally going for refuge through actually generating the minds of fear and faith, turning to the three jewels for refuge, honoring them through offerings and making supplications. So by starting one's activities in this way, both formal Dharma practice as well as one's general activities, then one will be actually accumulating, well, one will actually be engaging in Dharma practice rather than merely doing good deeds. So in this way, one will accumulate vast stores of merit and thereby easily accomplish all one's spiritual goals.
When I read here, just in brief, whatever Dharma activity you engage in, if you start with refuge, it will easily be accomplished. So there's a possible scope for misunderstanding here, in fact, for some negativity. Let's say one sets out on striving to accomplish calm abiding, and one goes to refuge, engages in a session to attain calm abiding, and does so continuously over a sustained period, but doesn't achieve calm abiding in the end. One may then say, oh, going for refuge really didn't help. It's not that I didn't easily achieve calm abiding. I didn't at all. Or likewise, if one engages in regular and sustained meditation on compassion and bodhicitta, but despite one's endeavors and always starting with refuge, one doesn't end up as a bodhisattva, then one may think, what is the point of going for refuge? Nothing was attained, let alone easily accomplished.
It is possible that when one's Dharma goals are not easily or quickly attained, one can end up blaming the three jewels. This, of course, would be a mistaken way to think.
Some ဒီစားတဲ့ကျမ်းလို့ခြေပါသံကြီးလမ်းဆောင်တန်တာဒုက္ခရေဆန်းနဲ့ကလေးခဘောလို့ပါခြေစားတဲ့နေကဆူဆူကြီးကျမ်းလို့တင်းဖို့ခြေပဲချီပြီးတော့ရဟုတ်ကစ်ခြေပဲနဲ့ဒီစီကြီးကြွားတယ်ရှုပ်ချက်တဲ့နေကကြီးတန်တာသူရဲ့ဒီမြူတီအဲကြွားတော့သူရုံကောလို့ခြေဒီချင်နေဆုံးကောလို့မတော့နောက်ကြီးကျမ်းလို့ခြေပါသံကြီးအဲ့ဒီကြီးလမ်းဆောင်တန်တာဒုက္ခရေဆန်းနဲ့ဆုံးမှာတော့ဘယ်နာလဲဒီစီခြေ
Rather, the realistic understanding is that the consciousness that is refuge is a consciousness that has a tremendous variety in terms of its strength. The stronger this consciousness of refuge is, the greater its impact on one's virtuous practice. Moreover, the consciousness of refuge is one essential cause among several essential causes that are required to bring about a desired virtuous result. So if we think of the illustration of the god who saw through their clairvoyance, or with clarity, that their next rebirth was about to be as a pig. One can appreciate from that predicament that the refuge generated by this god would have been sincere from the very depths of their heart. So therefore, when refuge is like that, when it really comes from deep within, it is a very strong, powerful consciousness, and therefore the propelling impact it has on one's virtuous activity is far greater than something that amounts to little more than a mere recitation of words. The mind of refuge itself comes about independence on two causes. And independence on the strength of both of those causes, the resulting mind of refuge will reflect that strength. So if one merely understands that there are such things as lower realms, and in theory I may well be born there, that first cause for refuge is certainly weak. And likewise, if one's understanding of the qualities of the three jewels is also merely academic, that cause too, that second cause, will be weak. But on the other hand, if one has a deep understanding of the sufferings of the lower realms and a recognition that on my continuum abide the causes for rebirth there, this is a real possibility for me. And this leads to a deep fear arising. That deep fear will spur one to think deeply about the qualities of the three jewels, which itself will give rise to that second cause for refuge, that of a deep trust in the capacity of the three jewels to guide one and gain freedom from suffering. So therefore, the quality of the causes leads to the quality of the result. That is the case in the mind of refuge. It's the case in with all virtuous qualities we look to accumulate. The strength of the causes leads to the strength of the results. This becomes clear when we think of the general context of where we are in this text, in the Lamrim presentation. Prior to looking at the chapter on refuge, we looked at the chapter on the potential rebirth in the lower realms. And prior to that, we looked at the chapter on the impermanence of this life. So therefore, the meditations one would have been engaging in are reflecting on the certainty of our death and the uncertainty of the time of our death. Recognizing that this precious opportunity I've attained, it is finite, and its end could be at any time. None of us can say with any certainty as to whether we will die tomorrow or even today. Moreover, the experiences of the lower realms are something I've had to endure in the past. Those causes abide on my continuum, and I may well be there, born there again. To the extent that one has reflected well on those two causes, one will have given rise to a wish to gain liberation from potentially being reborn in the lower realms. That strength of mind will lead to us engaging far more deeply in this chapter, looking at the qualities of the three jewels, really assessing for ourselves whether they have the capacity to guide us to gain liberation from rebirth in the lower realms. So it's for this reason that the text is provided, presented in this order, but also so that when you start your meditation, we always start with refuge and bodhicitta, but prior to even reciting refuge verses, generate the mind of refuge by reflecting on suffering and the qualities of the three jewels, so that when one actually comes to recite the refuge formula, the mind of refuge is present. Then one is really going for refuge to the three jewels.
And the nigger and Lucine, some more radiant, the Dangaranja, that the Nalanga the Karasungo Sena, the Dangaranja, Kuri, Tunga, Tadale, Taranda, Shen, Dangaranjigi, Simjan Tam, Jedeva, Tubara, Tunga, Miduba, Simjan Tamjeda, Kuri, Tunga, Dela, Trogu, which is the Kuwa, like you again, the Kamsum Gawan, Nirubina, Faina, the Mina, the
Yep, so try it.
Ani dine tsurim sunya. Chizanda, shenle nye se chikyo mare, zayana sui, desu labja. Ani laya, duushin shenle ya, ani deji kasan shubha na shen, shen simje le, pendo tru shenle ya, ani jamru kiya le ya, gyawasa ya le, bichu shenle, penbe tukuk le, zayana, du sunya de ye da, duushin nga zuki nyamlin chaya de chari gore. Zayana, nye zang, tanda la, jamru shaya de, duushin le, koyu nga suan na,
Nishim, Yeah,
a further addition to the meditation prior to going to for refuge is having reflected on the suffering of the lower realms, one can reflect briefly also on the suffering of the higher realms and then remind yourself, it's not only me who wants to be freed of suffering. It's not only me who is experiencing problems and difficulties in this life, but every other suffering being is too. And wherever one is born in cyclic existence, we are propelled there without any free will, without any choice, whether we are born in the greatly pleasurable states of the God realms or as a human or in the lower realms. We are sent there under the control of our karma. And even when we attain better rebirth, such as the remarkable one we've achieved now, we know suffering still follows us. Suffering is still repeatedly experienced. And this then gives rise to a deeper sense of liberation, a wish for liberation from suffering, the sufferings of samsara in its entirety, and the recognizing that others also yearn for a state freed of suffering. We generate the determination to go for refuge so as to spiritually develop for the sake of ourselves and others. This then spurs us to reflect on the qualities of the three jewels. Then, gaining confidence that the three jewels can guide us to gain actual protecting refuge from suffering, our desire then to accumulate virtue will be very strong. And with this mind, we then go for refuge. In this way, we are reciting refuge with the wish to accumulate virtue so that we don't fall into the lower realms, that we create the causes to continue to spiritually develop, and we can be of benefit to others. So in this way, right at the start of our practice, we establish the correct motivation. And this will also give rise to a yearning to engage in the six practices of generosity and ethics and patience and joy, perseverance, concentration, and wisdom. We want to engage in them because understanding these are the virtuous practices that accumulate causes that will lead not only to ongoing excellent rebirths, but our own spiritual progression and our growing capacity to be of benefit to others. This then too gives us a confidence that I am creating the causes that are leading me to gain freedom from suffering because I am accumulating merit through these meditations, particularly when one also feels the effect of these meditations in one's daily life. This adds to one's confidence, adds to one's conviction that one is on the right path, that one is transforming one's mind.
All right, that is
3月16日返事是拉空子 Then I must apologize. I need to conclude early today. Tomorrow we have the consecration of the Kadampa Stupa. And so a few geshis are arriving shortly and I need to welcome them and so forth. So I'm afraid I need to end a little bit early this week.